This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a grateful heart to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. And I also want to say thank you to those of you who have been listening to me for the last few years here at Soulful Living and also on Welcome to Blissville. Today marks the first Monday of my sixth year here at Empower. And I'm really, really, excited. And as my producer Asher would say, a little emotional because we got a little, I got a little weepy before I actually came on the show. And I'm pretty excited about interviewing my guest today. Of course, you know, I'm always excited about interviewing my guests because I glean so much from each and every one of them. But my guest today, RJ Hodges, he has a YouTube channel that, of course, is Motivational Mondays. And because of that YouTube channel and watching one of those videos, he and I are sitting here. He had listened to one of my shows and he commented in the comment section how much he enjoyed it and that he would love to be a guest. I listened to one of his videos and I'm like, oh my God, he's like talking to me today. So I know that as he and I actually chat today, you're going to feel like he's talking to you as well. RJ is an international speaker and author. His life evolves around empowering others through offering help and hope during stressful times. And, you know, we see so much on the media right now that seems like is really stressful. And it's people like RJ who help us really keep connected to staying positive and upbeat. And with that, I say, welcome to Soulful Living, RJ.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, I really was inspired and grateful that you sent me that message. But I sat down and I watched a video just at random, and it was, Why Do I Feel This Way? And you talked about taking care of not just your physical self, but de-stressing by taking care of your mental and spiritual self. And it just so happened that I was in a funk that day. I know my listeners, a lot of them will say, oh, not Terry, she never gets in a funk. But hey, I'm human, and I do. But that really spoke to me, and I loved that you just so naturally talked about it, you know, that even that you get into a funk, because we all do.
Definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that it's natural. I think we encounter so many different energies every single day, and some of those energies aren't always good, and we can just feel, you know, a type of way that is not a good feeling for us. And sometimes, you know, we talk to people and they just say, I just feel a certain way. And I always ask people, well, what's wrong? Did your house catch on fire? And they go, no. And I go, did your pet pass away? They go, no. I go, well, what's wrong? And they don't know. And I know right then that they're just starving because they're probably lacking nourishment on that mental, spiritual, emotional side.
Yeah, and I think that so many of us go through our day, and like you actually say this in the video, you don't pay attention to that. You pay attention to when you're hungry for food, but you don't pay attention to when you're hungry for soul support. And, you know, we don't necessarily pay attention to that when we get in that funk.
You know, that's something within the last few years or so that just came on my heart to pay attention to myself, because I don't have a problem paying attention to drinking water every day or taking a shower or eating food, all of those physical things that we just seem to do unconsciously. But then I noticed that even if I paid attention to my mental, spiritual, and emotional self, I didn't pay attention to it as much as I did those other things. And I started to think to myself, you know, if I eat three times a day, why don't I feed myself spiritually three times a day? Mm-hmm. Why does that, you know, happen maybe twice or three times a week? And I said, okay, if I make these two quote unquote sides of myself parallel and I look at it that way, if I didn't eat physical food or do some of the physical things that we do, if I only eat those 2 to 3 times a week, how would I feel? What physical state would I be in? And that just I mean, it almost like it opened the door for me, because I was like, wow, that means my emotional, spiritual and mental self is in that same space, because I'm not giving it that same type of attention.
And you have had the opportunity as a speaker and an author to work with some renowned leaders, you know, George Frazier, Les Brown. You partnered in a book with them. And so what do you do on your end to reconnect with that mental and spiritual sense of grace?
Lots of meditation, you know, and a whole lot, you know. And when I say meditation, I've learned over the years that when you use that word, everybody hears meditation in a very different way.
Oh, they sure do.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I say it and I get this weird look from people, and they think that I'm going to, you know, make them sit in a corner and hum or something.
Right.
They feel it's going to be weird or something like that.
Right.
But what I've learned is that meditation for me and what has worked for a lot of my clients over the years is teaching them to cut off outside stimuli, cut off outside stimulation at some point. Because a lot of times as adults, our whole lives, they're stimulated by something coming in, meaning that there's a phone going off, there's somebody talking to us, there's a television on, there's something coming in at all times. And what I've learned to do is to disconnect. I've learned to, you know, turn that stuff off and spend time in silence. And I never knew that a lot of people are afraid of silence, you know, myself included. And what I learned is that when I started being comfortable with spending time in silence, I started to remember what peace was really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're as beings, we're always peaceful. This world and this society teaches us how to not be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to get somebody back to that peaceful state, we don't know what that is because chaos has become a way of life for us. So for me, it's just, you know, making sure that I'm very consistent with cutting off the things that are feeding me and just spending time in peace. And consequently, it teaches me how to be in peace, even in the midst of chaos, which is a whole different conversation. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that gave me chills from head to toe. And I love how you described it as reconnecting with that place of peace. That is not attached to any religion or anything else like that. It's really about coming to that center of your own peace. And if you allow the chaos in your external world to distract you from that, of course you're going to be afraid of it because you don't even know what it looks like.
Very much so. That's a great way to put that. I need to borrow that from you if you don't mind. I like the way you just summed that up really well. But that's a perfect way to put it, because I find a lot of times that when I talk to people about being in a place of peace, they say, okay. But it finally dawned on me that they don't really know what that is. Because I didn't know what that was. Like nobody really knows what that is. Peace for most people is coming home from work and being able to sit on the couch for a brief moment before they start to worry about the next set of issues that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's as much peace sometimes that most human beings get. And, you know, that's really sad, because how do you operate on a very high vibration if that's the only level of peace that you live in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes it difficult if you don't get that peace thing in order.
Yeah, I have two dogs, and I find myself periodically thinking, I need to live a dog's life, because they, you know, that to me, I look at them and they're peaceful. Yeah, they get super excited and wag their tail when I walk in a room and they want to play. When they're done, they're done. And they lay down and they find their place of peace. You know, sometimes I look at my dog and she's sitting, you know, perched like this beautiful white princess, but she has her eyes closed. And I wonder, is she meditating while she's sitting there? She has her eyes closed.
Maybe.
Right. I mean, she's just super relaxed and in some dog zone. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is getting still enough to allow that place. And like you said, not be afraid of it.
Yeah, definitely. Since we're plugging dogs, I have to say I love my 5-year-old all-white male boxer. He is the best. So not that he's listening, but hello, Aspen. He teaches me a lot about, like you just said, being at peace, because he's always at peace.
Yeah.
And he can go from peaceful to excited in a moment's notice, but it's just like everything for him is just calm. You know, he just kind of walks around the house and nothing really shakes him up a whole lot. And he just kind of goes with the flow of things. And I can imagine his life is just a really great one. So.
Well, it must be, because he has an extremely loving and motivational human to hang out with all the time. So lucky Aspen. Okay. So tell me a little bit about, two things. I want to know about Mission Unstoppable and how you came to work with those greats, George Frazier and Les Brown.
You know, I always tell people the power of intention is everything.
Ooh,
I came to work with
sure
these gentlemen. Oh, my God. Like, and that's really what it is. Anybody that knows me or have ever seen me speak, if you go on YouTube and find something that I'm speaking to an audience, I end all the time with a quote from Les Brown. You must be willing to do the things today others won't do in order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. I've been ending with that since I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And somewhere in my intention, I always said I will have the opportunity to work with Les Brown. When I was about 19 years old, I actually met George Frazier doing a business that I was involved in and just was moved and blown away by, you know, all of the messages and the inspiration that he has. Long story short, I found a gentleman by the name of Winston that I was friends with some over the years, found him on LinkedIn. We kept networking for maybe about a year and a half. And one day I'm talking to him about my book that I was writing. And he said, hey, George and Les Brown are doing a co-author book. I think you should be a part of it. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. I think so, too. This is a hypothetical conversation. Right. Why not? You know, it's a hypothetical conversation in my mind at that point. Winston says, hey, listen. I'm going to send you George Frazier's number. When we hang up, just give him a call and tell him I told you to call. And I go, wait a minute. Why do you really mean I should just call this man out of the blue? And just, he was like, yeah, it's fine. I got to go here. You know, I'll send you the number in a second. And for a second, I doubted it because, of course, that's the human nature side. That's
yes.
the side that comes up and says that it can't be this easy. And I tell you that the intention of I would work with these gentlemen from back at 18, I made that phone call. George said, hey, how you doing? Tell me about yourself. He said, oh, wait a minute. I'm about to get on a plane. I'll call you back in an hour or whatever it takes for me to get off the plane. I hung up and the doubt came back and said, he's never going to call you back. Almost to the second that the plane landed, because I could hear the people talking in the back, my phone rung and the rest is history. I became a part of that co-authored book, which is a number one bestseller on Amazon. So,
wow. And give me a little bit about your story in Mission Unstoppable.
My story in Mission Unstoppable, the premise behind it talks about failure's blessing. And I really talk about a lot of the things that we consider failure, but it's really not. And my story is interesting. My dad died when I was 8 years old. My mom died when I was 20 from cancer. Mm. I helped her go through that whole battle of fighting colon cancer and, you know, being like 18, 19, helping her and taking her to chemo treatments. It was a lot for me to process, but I couldn't process it because I had to be strong for her in
right.
a sense.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 20, of course, like I said, she passed away and I was in school and college and I kind of left college for a while and I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know who I was, why I was still existing. I thought everything was a failure because I felt like, you know, everybody around me, they were gone. And I started going to church, which was something that I didn't necessarily grow up doing. I always had a belief. I always had faith and always believed in a higher being. But I started going to church and it just opened me up. It started to change me. And one night I went into the church chapel on a Friday night. Imagine I'm 20 years old and I'm in a church chapel on a Friday night. That doesn't sound
fun. That's hard to get my mind around.
It doesn't sound like the Friday night you want. But I was desperate because I knew that I needed something. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I was at that point where there was nothing really pushing me to go on forward. I had ambition, but I didn't know what to direct it in. And long story short, I was in that chapel that night praying and crying, literally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not
there.
The biggest. Okay, great. So I don't feel alone. But I'm not the biggest religious person. I'm not really not the biggest religious person that says that, oh, you know, God spoke to me, or, you know, stuff that you hear that becomes very cliche. But what I can say is what happened to me, I can't deny it. And all I heard was born to win.
Mm.
I didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it sent chills over my body. And for me, it meant that you were born for a purpose. And this is not the end, no matter what has gone on, no matter what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that. I took Born to Win and I held on to it. I only told maybe one or two people. And I just kept developing that. And then I started, you know, time went by and I started looking at the common denominators of what I was good at. Because I would work jobs and people that were upper management would call me in their offices and I thought I was in trouble, but they would sit down, this 21, 22-year-old kid, and ask my advice about their life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally 50, 60-year-old people would say, me and my wife are going through this, and, you know, what are you thinking? I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? So I looked at all of the common denominators, and lo and behold, Born to Win became the name of the first speaking and empowerment company that I started.
Mm.
So, you know, my story is just one of, always says the underdog story in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But today I just call it a story of just an average guy with above average heart, above average ambition, and just that above average desire to know that life is bigger and better than sometimes what people will portray it to us to be, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, wow, you really could have gotten sucked into a different story, you know, one that had a downward spiral instead of an upward spiral. And you listened. You took all of the things that have happened with you and you listened to the voice in that church that night. And maybe it wasn't the next day that you came out and said, yeah, I was really born to win. But over right. time, you listened and you incorporated that into your life. So listeners, this is Terry Williams. We're talking with RJ Hodges at Soulful Living here on Empower Radio. And RJ and I are talking about his history and his ability to pay attention and really be born to win. I mean, you paid attention to the voices, even if it took a while for that to happen. And you started this Born to Win series. You've also written your own book, The Art of Mastering You, which to me, you know, that's an everyday challenge. So how do you really incorporate that into your life? And tell me more about the book.
The book, The Art of Mastering You, the beginning part of the title of the book is called You Can't Practice at the Game, which just kind of popped in my head one morning. And it was funny. I've learned the value of all of those things that pop in our heads. I tend to write them down now because I know they mean something, even though I may not know what they mean at the time. So a couple of years later, I figured out that that was the name of the book, but thankfully I wrote it down. The Art of Mastering You is incorporated because I always tell people everything starts with taking an honest look at who you are. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there as far as self-help. There's the 5 steps to how to get wealthy. There's the 10 steps to have how to have a better relationship. And I'm, you know, not making light of any of that because I think all of that stuff is great. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed is that a principle is only as good as the spirit or the person that it comes into contact with.
And okay, a lot say of times that people, again.
Okay.
Say that again.
A principle. So the 5 steps to how to get wealth or the 10 steps to have a better relationship are all great principles.
Mm-hmm.
But a principle is only as good as the spirit or the person that it comes into contact with.
Mm.
And a great analogy for that is that seeds are great, but seeds are only as good as the ground that it comes into contact with.
Because
you can buy great seeds and go plant them in, you know, beach sand. Good luck.
Right.
No, nothing's going to happen. Doesn't mean the seeds are bad. Just means that the ground isn't what it needs to be. And I think a lot of times we buy all of the self-help books. We get the principles. We, you know, we get the 10 steps. We go to everybody's seminar and it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And typically we point the finger at the person. We say, oh, this crap doesn't work. And this is another person that's going to tell me you can do it too. But what I've noticed is that until you look in the mirror and you say, honestly, I'm a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. I have fear. You know, this doesn't work because I didn't do it. I have hurt from, you know, seeing my parents divorced that I've never gotten over. That's why I push people away in relationships. So the 5 steps doesn't work for me until I jump that hurdle. That's where the art of mastering you comes into play, because I feel like before we start adding external principles, we have to now turn inward and start mastering ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense. You know, I teach classes mainly to women on self-love. And I'm constantly saying, in order to really step into loving life, you have to love yourself first, which is about mastery. You know, it's mastering mm-hmm. how to love yourself. So that you can show up and love the world. And so if you're going to suggest that the listeners do something to master themselves, what would be the first thing?
The very first thing is really take a look at yourself. I would take a look at myself in a mirror and just kind of be real honest about the good traits that you have and the bad traits that you have, and don't sugarcoat it. You're mm-hmm. just telling yourself so nobody can judge you for it. Take a look at those things and be honest. I'm fearful of this. I'm hurt about that. That doesn't make sense to me. I hate this. Be honest with yourself. Start there. That's kind of like step one. Step two is do not try to be your own advisor. I think mm-hmm. that is a dangerous, mm-hmm. dangerous thing. I'm a coach, but I have a coach. You know, I don't think a life coach can be a life coach to yourself. A counselor can't counsel themselves. Once you get those things out and you kind of know where you are, I would say seek someone that can help you. Seek a life coach. Seek some counseling. Seek someone that is non-biased, that is outside of you, that can really help you make sense of those things. And then put a plan in place to start working on and improving those things.
Mm. And I like what you said about non-biased. You know, a lot of times we turn to our significant other or our friends and our family, and they're definitely biased.
Very much so. And in fact, I tell every coaching client that I have an opportunity to do a consult with, they always say, what's the benefit of coaching? And I always say, not only for the strategies, the perspectives and the accountability, I say, but I find that most adults, we have nobody in our lives that are non-biased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, great family members, great friends, spouses, significant others, all of that good stuff. But they are biased, which means that you can't say it the way you want to say it, or you may have to apologize for it later. And what happens is we end up just bottling a lot of things in. We end up just holding a lot of things within ourselves, which doesn't work for us over the long haul, over a time period. So I think having someone outside of you that is non-biased is probably the most important thing that a person can be seeking. And, you know, in my book, I talk about how to find a mentor and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, even if you don't find a mentor, find a coach, find a counselor, find someone that can help you make sense of those things. But by all means, don't let those things just keep going on and continue to try to just add principles to it. Because again, you're putting great seed in sand.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that one of the things I like to add here is that coach could be you. Listeners, you can find all of RJ's information here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. And if you'd like to reach out and connect with him, feel free to visit him and watch those Motivational Monday videos that he has on YouTube. But more importantly, connect with him and Like me, he's an energy worker. So not only do you get the bonus of energy work, but you get the bonus of his amazing coaching abilities. And RJ, we're down to the wire here. And I thank you so much for joining me here today. And I love for my guests to leave the listeners to with one thought that they can take out into the day and empower themselves, something that can help them elevate their soul. What would that be for you?
I'll give them two things. RJ Hodges Speaks at Gmail. That is an email address for me. For the first 20 people that contact me, I'll give you a free 20-minute over-the-phone coaching consultation just because you're listening to this show. That way we can dig a little deeper.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. The biggest thing that I would share with people is no matter where you are, understand that if you can take a deep breath and if you're still here and if you're still breathing, it's not over. Mm. Understand that if you're here today, there is a purpose. Even if you don't see that purpose, there is a purpose. There are no mistakes in our universe. And you definitely won't be the first one. So have no fear about that. And just know that whatever you're in today, in a snap, it can all change. It can all go for the better and it can all work for your good. A lot of times we're just learning things to prepare us for that next level. So be encouraged, smile, look at yourself today and understand that you are worth everything that you ever thought, hoped, and dreamed about. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to help in any way possible.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.